Reading is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 16. I'm reading from 1 to 14. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. Well, I have the joyful task of speaking today about a kind of vision for children and youth work and why we believe as a church, biblically, it is such an important part of what we do. But you might be thinking, "Kate, I know that you don't help with the youth and I know that you don't help with the children, so why is it you?" And I would say exactly the same thing, which is why both Abby and Sam are going to come up and speak much more proficiently and practically about what's actually happening in our church after I have explored a bit this passage from 1 Samuel and a little bit of a few other passages from the Bible. But let me pray as I start. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together to gather around your word and to think about what it means to be a church that is full of people from all different generations. Amen. Well, I want to start by inviting you to imagine your perfect church service. What would it be like? Would there be stunning choral music? Would there be a perfectly eloquent three-point sermon when all the points began with the same letter? Would there be really comfy chairs or pastries at the end of the service? What would it be like for you to walk in to your perfect service? And let me follow up by asking you, where would the children be? Would they be a part of every aspect of the service? So we got to hear them all throughout, rejoicing with us? Would you rather that actually they went out to groups so you could concentrate? Would you rather you didn't have to see them at all? Well, I won't ask you to tell me your honest opinion, but whatever you have just answered in your head, is this in line with what Scripture teaches us about children? Because this morning, I want us to think about that. Think about what the Bible says and to try and encourage us to see children and youth work as an integral and wonderful aspect of our worship together. And may I say personally that what a perfect day to have Sebastian playing the organ for us, and how wonderful it is to have some families together worshiping with us. And when I was thinking about what the Bible says about children, I thought the first thing I wanted to say is that it's clear in the Bible that we are to pursue a childlike faith. There is something about the way that a child sees faith which is special and which we must learn from. Matthew 18, verse 3. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. We are told to have faith like a child. Perhaps like a child who has been given a gift and opens it up and makes you think that you have given them the greatest gift that they have ever encountered. I have a picture now of my niece, Rosie, and Rosie is acorn obsessed. And you can see to the left of the picture is her big acorn, which is her very special toy that she takes everywhere. And last Christmas in Aldi, they had unicorn heads that you could hang on a wall wearing a Christmas hat, and then it played Christmas music. And I gave this to her, and my sister-in-law told me that all the way home, she was snuggling big acorn and unicorn head, and she was saying, "I love my unicorn." And I thought, to me, it felt like a very average gift. But to a unicorn obsessive, it was a wonderful thing. Well, we're told to have the humility of a child. Not to be thinking when it comes to faith that we have everything sussed and sorted. But to be full of wonder and delight in our faith. True joy that we have found the pearl of great price. This is how we enter heaven. We feel that faith is the greatest gift ever given. Well, how could you keep that childlike delight of your faith awakened? We can do that by having children as part of our services, by hearing what it is that they love about God, what it is that they know and believe. My nephew, Theo, went to Sunday school and learned about the Holy Spirit, and then went back to my parents' house and told my mum that when she couldn't get the TV to work, she just needed to ask the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was everywhere. And he, very much true, yes, he was absolutely right. Well, if we are not prioritizing and welcoming children into the church, we cannot walk alongside them, learning from their faith and having that help us to enable, pursue, and grow our own. We're called to pursue a childlike faith. Secondly, children and young people are our brothers and sisters in Christ. I wonder, when did you become a Christian? Some of us might have a specific moment that we can remember. But for others of us, we found our faith in childhood, and it has never left us. The Bible makes it clear that faith can be found as a child. We do not need to have some deep intellect, have every answer that, to every question that's possibly been asked, or to have gone through a certain number of years to have a deeply rooted faith. And some of us will be testament to this. I wonder if you'd be willing to put your hand up if you, like me, have been a Christian all your life. I don't remember a point at which I wasn't a believer. And I wouldn't have wanted to be a part of a church where, even as a young child, they didn't think my faith was real. When Paul writes to Timothy, he points out that his faith began as a child when he encountered the sacred writings, and this made him wise for salvation in faith. And throughout history, there have been amazing examples of children with huge faith. As someone with Welsh grandparents, one of my favorites was Mary Jones and her Bible. And when I was little, I had a book about Mary Jones. Mary was a poor girl living in rural Wales, and she had a deep and profound faith. And we are in the 1800s, but I should have written down the dates, I'm sorry, but we are in the Victorian times. She had, at the age of 8, she expressed a desire for a Bible, but her family could not afford one. She saved for 6 years, selling honey, mending clothes, in order to save enough money. And then she was willing to walk 26 miles to a specific town where she knew that she would be able to buy a Bible. She was given shoes, but she didn't want to ruin them, so she walked 26 miles barefoot. And when she got there, they'd sold out of Bibles. But the man saw her desire for a Bible, and actually then gave her 3. And because of Mary Jones, the Bible Society was set up to try and give people who didn't have access to a Bible. Well, what a girl, a 14-year-old girl of true and real faith. I wonder which children or young people you know who are in your life who you get to walk alongside as a disciple of Christ. It's a real honor to do this as adults. And God tells us this is our duty. In Proverbs, we're told to train up a child in the way they should go, so that even when they are old, they will not depart from it. We are so lucky to have children in our church who God has blessed us with, who we're able to love and care for, to thank God for, and who we hope and pray will develop a deep and lasting faith in God, like Mary Jones did. And my final point is that we must never underestimate children. And this is why I chose this passage of Samuel coming to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. And we have Samuel, the prophet, and all of these strong, hunky, tanned, tall men walk past. And each time Samuel goes, oh, it must be him. It must be him. It must be him. But it isn't. God says no. And we can imagine what Samuel must be thinking. But hasn't he run out of sons? And he turns to Jesse and says, have you got any more? And Jesse says, yes. Yes, I have a child. Imagine being Samuel. Samuel, who's been told, this is the man who will save Israel, who's going to lead Israel and be a mighty king. And yet when Samuel meets him, he is but a boy, a teenager. And yet the next passage that we have in Scripture is David as a teenager defeating Goliath. But Samuel has a vision. He believes what God has told him. Not to worry about the outward appearance, but to look at the heart. And that's what God says to him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord knew that it must be a child who was going to rise up and be the greatest human king of Israel. How much can we look at the outward appearance of someone and not look at what is in the heart? And how much might this mean that we can be dismissive of what children and young people's faith is possible of? We know how much God used David to be a good king, to rule over Israel, to establish Jerusalem, to bring the Ark of the Covenant, and then his son built the temple. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Let's be like that, investing in children, learning about their faith, walking alongside them and having them as part of our community. Let's rejoice that we are so lucky to have many children and young people as part of our church family. Let's pray and support their parents as they bring them up. Let's pray that these children and young people can have lasting faith in Jesus. Jesus wanted to bless children. In Mark 10, he took children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Children aren't too unimportant to have God's undivided attention. So let's make sure that we follow what God does and we give them our undivided attention as well. And I'm going to invite Abby and Sam to come up. I think we can use this microphone. So don't worry. Shall we do, if we do Abby and then we do Sam, is that easiest? Brilliant. So, Abby, welcome. Abby, sorry, you say.
I was going to say sorry for hearing my toddler run around, but actually I think after your sermon I should say you're welcome.
Yeah, totally. Imagine if we'd had a service about children and young people and there had been no children. That would have been sad.
I'm glad I can provide.
So I've asked you four questions that I can't remember. So do you want to say what the questions are and then what you're going to say? Oh, can we use the handheld mic? Yes.
Yes.
Just leave it and they'll do it.
Is it on? Oh,
yes.
Perfect. As you can tell, technology is not a strong point of mine. I can't actually remember the questions either, but I've got the answers. So I might just read the answers and hopefully, maybe Sam knows the questions. He can.
Sam, what's the first question? A passage that speaks about children's work. Your favourite passage.
Perfect. So my favourite passage is Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, "Start children off on the way they should go. Even when they are old, they will not turn from it." And this has become a recent first passage since I've had my own child, Florence, because it's been so inspiring to me that it's not just teaching children Christian songs, we're not just singing My Lighthouse in Sunday school, it's actually starting them off for their whole life. It's actually setting that foundation for them. Sorry. And since having Florence, it's become so much more relevant to me and my work as the children's worker here at BPC.
Why is it so important? Why do you think children's work is so important?
Thank you, Kate. So many children don't have the privilege of growing up with godly role models. So many children grow up in homes where God is not spoken about, where the love of Jesus is never shown. And so our roles as people of the church, and specifically my role as the children's worker, is to be that role model. We can do that through our outreach events, so our family fun days that we've got coming up, or even just on a Sunday morning. We never know what's going on at home, so we should be the people who are that godly role model to children. Even if they come from Christian families as such, that doesn't mean that they get to know about God and his goodness.
Share a story to encourage us from your time in your job.
Thank you. Can I? Sorry, I hadn't actually finished yet.
Oh, sorry.
Is that all right? No,
that's
it's
my
fine.
Job.
I don't know. And a lot of people also don't actually give children enough credit. A lot of people don't realise how influential children can be. Even little tiny ones like my one, or big grown-up ones that are a bit more scary, they don't give them credit to see how influential they can be. So like Kate was saying, with the childlike faith, we should really trust them and know that they have this faith, and we should mirror that faith that they have. So a few weeks ago, I've only been in the job for 8-ish weeks now, so not for very long, but I've already got a couple of amazing stories, which is incredible. And a few weeks ago, we were doing a session on, it was listening to God and Samuel, and it wasn't a planned session. I was very delayed and just hadn't planned anything. And thankfully, we only had 4 children, so it was very easy to make it up as I went along. And we were talking about praying to God and listening to him and seeing what he can say to us. And all of the girls were quite old, so they were the older end of the age group. And they all wanted to listen, but afterwards, after we did the activity, none of them said they could hear anything. And then we came in here, and in the service, Ali had done a spontaneous, 5 minutes of just complete silence. And I thought, how incredible that we've just walked in saying, we've just taught these children how to pray, when to pray, and how to listen to God. And we've come in, and immediately there is that opportunity for them to do that. I unfortunately didn't follow up to see whether any of them listened. But the fact that all of them wanted to listen to God and to hear from him, I just thought was absolutely incredible. That these 7-8-year-old girls were so desperate to hear from God that they were actually upset that they didn't. And that was just made my heart warm. I was like, this is why I do what I do. Because these kids really, you can tell they have that longing for Jesus. God has given me some incredible visions for our children's ministry here at BPC, but none of it is possible by myself. Obviously, we need God's help to make these visions come to life, but we also need visions for we also need the help of volunteers and dedicated, gifted volunteers that are willing to help us, because I am only one person. I cannot do everything. So as we go away from here today, I would love you to pray for the fact that we get more volunteers, the fact that we get school contacts, because I think schools work is so vital in children's ministry, and pray for funding to be able to do things. We're so blessed that we are able to run activities like the Family Fun Days, but we just need to thank God for that and pray that that will continue for years to come, because it is such a blessing to the children and their families.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. And shall we then, we'll just do a quick, or you can bring Florence up. We'd love to see Florence. No, we don't want to see. We can see Florence at the end. So the first question is, can you share a passage from Scripture which inspires you in youth work?
I can, but I left my notes over here because I have Florence.
As you can see, we practice this.
I'm very sorry. I wrote all
Don't
of this
worry.
Down.
Don't
worry. Life with children. A passage that speaks into youth ministry. So my favourite passage in Scripture is actually this one that speaks into youth ministry as well. And it is the call of Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Because we see God calling a young boy who is already ministering in the temple. It doesn't say how old he is, it just says he's young. So he could be anywhere between, I don't know, 3 and 18. But also, it then says in verse 7 that he did not yet know the Lord. And how willing are we to allow young people who haven't yet heard God to serve in church and minister to us? His service in the temple would have been helping with worship, to prepare the table and all these other things. And God has called him. He doesn't yet know the Lord, but God has commissioned him to do this before he has spoken to him. And I believe that that's still relevant for young people today. That even if a young person, even if they just know about God, there is potential for them to be called and to serve his people and his church.
Great. And our second question is, why do you think youth ministry is so important?
Okay, this is also one of my favourite questions ever. And I've got some statistics for you. I thought...
Data, love it.
Data's great. I love research. There's some research that's come out recently. So 38% of Christians that come to faith are between the ages of 5 and 18. 38%. This was research conducted in 2016 from the Evangelical Alliance. And to put that into perspective, 33% that they were Christians from birth. So that is a large majority come to faith within 13 years of their life. And the other 70, 80 years only covers just under a third. That's an incredible statistic. And actually, that should be the first reason why youth and children's ministries should be high on our priority list, because it is the future of the church. But to take this a little further, there was some research conducted over the past couple of years that was released a few months ago. A whole collection of youth ministry charities came together. And they found that 70% of young people became Christians because of an influence from their peers. Of that 70%, when they were asked what their peers shared about their faith, 75% said that they were told about their friend's relationship with God. 73% were introduced to Christians their own age, and only 44% were introduced to a youth leader. My role is not as important as their friends. And that, I have to let go of that. I'm not the most important person. God is the most important person, and he is to work through young people like he worked through Samuel. So our role in youth ministry isn't just for me, but it's for all of us. There's that famous phrase of, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church to raise a disciple. There's so many examples through the Old Testament of youth ministry in action and different models of that. And I will be teaching a seminar on some of these statistics, diving into research and models of youth work and how the church should be involved in youth culture. That seminar will be at Hiley. If you want to come and hear more about that, please do. I had to plug it. I'm sorry.
No worries. And can you share a story to encourage us from youth ministry?
Yes. I wrote a story down. I'm not going to say that one because of inspiration of what we've just heard. About 5-6 years ago, when I was in a previous church, we took a group of young people to a summer youth festival called Soul Survivor. I'm sure you've all heard of it. We took one particular young person who had a very difficult upbringing. If you hear the story, it made me cry. And he'd never been to church before. He'd only come along to our youth group. And after the first sort of service at Soul Survivor on the first night, I said to him, "What did you think?" And he said, "Yeah, it was nice." I said, "Well, what about God?" And his response was, "I respect those that believe in God, but I don't want to know. It's not for me, but I'm not going to argue with anyone that wants to believe." And I challenged him that night, and I said, "Well, I know how difficult your life is because you've shared those stories, so why don't you give God a go? When you go to bed tonight, just pray, God, speak to me this week. Come and show me that you're real. And then I left it for the next 4 days. And sadly, he had to leave on the penultimate day. So I had to walk him to the front gate because his parents didn't have tickets to come on site. So I had a 20-minute walk around Peterborough site, which is quite a long way. And I was able to chat to him and I said, well, I asked you to pray at the start of this week. What has God done? And his response broke me. And it was, God loves me, God knows me, and God hears me, and he responds to me. He had done a complete 180 on faith, of not wanting to know, to then knowing the heart of God for him. And when we got back, we asked the young people to share their testimonies, and he came up. And he shared his testimony about what happened that week. And, you know, it wasn't eloquent. It wasn't well rehearsed, but there was something in that moment that stirred the heart of the church. And for the next few months and for the rest of the year, we saw a level of faith grow. And I believe it was because of that testimony, challenged people to think about God's heart for them.
Fine, that's an amazing story. And finally, can you share some things that we could pray for you?
Yes, there's loads of things to pray for. But I've only got three things written down. So we have youth nights coming up, as Kate said. We currently have 31 young people signed up to come and hear about Jesus, and that's incredible, as well as all the fun inflatables and games and all the rest. So just pray that this goes smoothly and that we're able to share the gospel with them. Also, just pray that moving into September, we have new plans and ideas for the youth ministry here. From October, we're hoping to launch a one-to-one or one-to-two mentoring scheme for young people. So I might be coming around the church and saying, would you like to disciple a young person? All that means is getting a coffee with them once a month and praying with them and reading the Bible with them. Because we believe that young people need to be discipled. And that's not, I can't disciple every single young person on my own. Like I said, it takes a church to raise a disciple. So just pray for our young people and those who might be stirred to disciple them. And thirdly, no, I'm going to leave it there. That's just my two.
Amazing. Thank you so much. We don't normally clap, but maybe we could. Oh, I keep turning my microphone on and off. I'm just so grateful for Abby and Sam coming along and sharing, and I hope you feel really heartened about the work. So let's just say thank you. And then I'm going to pray as I end. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of children and young people in our church. Thank you so much that we get to walk alongside them. We get to encourage them, but we also get to be encouraged in faith by them. And we really want to lift up Abby and Sam and the work that they're doing with our children and young people, praying especially for this week and for all that will be happening with the youth nights and the family fun mornings. And also praying for more people to feel passionate about supporting them in their vision. Amen.